Yeah, Bill is a tough act to follow, I tell ya. I'm gonna just move this out of the way. Bill is my brother. I mean, you know, I don't know if many of you know this, but we met here. It was just divine. God brought us together. We were always meant to be together. But that, so, yeah, just another reason why I love this place so much. Okay, so the other night I was at an event and I met an ophthalmologist married to a podiatrist. Do you know what they call that when two doctors get married? Paradox. This is our topic today, paradox. Paradox is also something that when you have two boats, you need a paradox. Okay. Not to be confused with a paradox. A paradox is when you have two mallards together. That's okay. Enough with the puns. I'm married to an Australian. He is the punniest guy ever. So anyhow, a paradox is really a self-contradictory statement where it's two opposite things being true at the same time. We are living in such a time of paradox right now. It's overwhelming. And you know, Bill and I were talking about this before the service. This is life, you know, with all the joys and love and everything, you know, birth and weddings and all these celebrations. Then we also have loss and death and, you know, everything else that makes us sad and heavy. And how do we reconcile all this within our human hearts? Well, in a puzzle like Pamela was talking about, we have to see the big picture. We have to see how it all comes together. When we're just looking at one little piece, it doesn't make sense to us at all. You know, it's like, this is it? This is it? This is what I have to, I don't know what this is about. But when it's in context of everything else in our lives, it makes sense. We can step back and observe. It's kind of like, you know, when you're a little kid and you're dreaming about what you're going to be when you grow up, or, you know, what your house is going to look like, or if you're going to be married and have kids or whatever. And then, you know, you're an adult and something, it all happens and you look back and you say, wait, was I that same person that was dreaming about all this? How did I get here? And you know that every single thing that happened in your life led you to exactly where you are. The good and the bad, the seemingly good and the seemingly bad. We don't know what's good and what's bad. We're making judgments on it. But so many things had to line up in every single order to put you exactly the place where you are right now. I mean, even from the beginning, from conception, about your mother and father meeting, right, and you being conceived and that whole lineage behind you, you know, up until this very day, it's incredible. It's a miracle. It's really a miracle. And, you know, when we think about a puzzle and each puzzle piece is a single thing unto itself, and it doesn't reflect, it just forms a part of the big picture. But have you ever noticed what happens when you have a mirror and the mirror shatters into a million pieces? Well, not a million pieces, but that's exaggerating, but however many pieces, dozens of pieces. Each mirror piece reflects the whole. It's still a mirror. It doesn't have just like, okay, here's the mirror piece that reflects the lamp, so we'll put it here. And here's the mirror piece that reflects the sofa, so we'll put it here. It's not like a puzzle. Each puzzle piece is a reflection of the whole. When you hold it up, you can see your face in it. Each little one is the same. That's more of what life is like and what we are like as people. We are all reflections of the whole. We have that in us. Together we're stronger, but we're still reflections of the whole. And even everyone in this room, we can say we are one, but even all together, we're just a reflection of the whole bigger picture. So life is both. Life is a puzzle and life is a broken mirror, and it can be both at the same time, just as we are both human beings and spiritual beings. And treading that fine line of what am I going to be today is very hard, but integrating spirituality into your life allows you to live in the flow, guided by universal energy, guided by God. It puts you where you are meant to be. It puts you where you are supposed to be. And it seems like all these little miracles are happening. But, you know, is it happening, or are you allowing it to happen? Are you being present to its happening? Sometimes it's happening and people don't know. Their eyes are shut. They're asleep. They're missing it. And they say, oh, life is so terrible. But it's not. We have to wake up and say, what is our part in this? What am I meant to gather from this? What wisdom am I supposed to garner from this? There's been a lot of talk about AI right now, artificial intelligence and holograms and everything. To me, this is just this other paradox of what is real and what is not real. It's like crazy making. It's hard to accept. Like, really, somebody didn't write this? A computer wrote this? How can this happen? It's like, you know, at Disneyland, everybody's been to Disneyland probably, right? Or you know what Disneyland is. And then you go on that Haunted Mansion ride and they have those holograms of the ghosts and everything. And then they have that medium talking in the crystal ball and she's talking. It looks so real. It looks so real, but it's not. And it's just illustrating to us, okay, that is not real. We are living our unreal life in an unreal world, in Disneyland, another unreal world, you know, with an unreal person. It just goes on and on and on. But we can start removing those veils. We can start removing those layers and seeing the truth, you know, like in The Wizard of Oz, when she draws the curtain, and it's like, wait, what? You're the wizard? This is it? This is the big secret? One paradox that I learned is a spiritual truth from Deepak Chopra. It's in his book, Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, is the law of least effort. You know how we're always told to work hard. Work hard, and this is how you get ahead in life. You need to suffer. You got to pay your dues. You got to, you know, put some skin in the game and all this kind of stuff. Well, yeah, sometimes that's true. You do have to make effort. But sometimes when you do less, you accomplish more. Working smarter rather than harder. Doing less to accomplish more. How do you do this? It's that part of being in the flow. It's allowing God's grace to guide you. And how do we do that? It's by being in our spiritual being as much as we can, practicing meditation, practicing being quiet, practicing being still, so that we can actually hear that voice that's trying to talk to us. We can actually get that guidance that we're so seeking. You know, some There's this term right now that's popular, doom scrolling. You know, when you're on the internet, you're on Instagram or Facebook, and you just keep scrolling and scrolling, scrolling. What are we doing? I think a lot of us are looking for answers. What's going to fill me up? What's going to make me laugh? What's going to, you know, what am I doing? Why am I bored? When am I, blah, blah. You're just going like this. Okay, put the phone down, put the computer down, go sit on a cushion, close your eyes, breathe. It's as simple as that. Be at peace. Do you know it only takes 2 minutes where you can get into that brain state of waves where you can affect your health? 2 minutes. That's it. That's all it takes. Of course, there's benefits by going longer, but you know, a lot of people say, oh, I don't have time to meditate. I'm too busy. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. Okay, who doesn't have 2 minutes to just be still? I mean, it's medicine. It's good medicine. Take away 2 minutes of doom scrolling and put it yourself in meditation. There you go. I think all of us waste more than 2 minutes. I know I do. I'm just as bad. I have every excuse. Oh, it's marketing. I'm doing research, whatever. But the minute I put it down and go into my meditation space, I'm just like, what am I doing to myself? You know, what am I doing? Okay. And sometimes it is easier. Like, I remember my dad always used to tell me, I was in a sales job for a while, which is like so not me, but I thought I'd give it a shot. You know, I was working at a magazine. I wanted to be a writer. They didn't need writers. They needed ad people. I thought, okay, this is my way in. I'll just be an ad person. I'll start writing articles, blah, blah, blah. That was my whole idea. And it was hard because I'm the kind of person that takes no for an answer. Salespeople don't take no for an answer. And my sales manager was like, Lisa, you gotta have that cutthroat mentality. And I'm like, oh my, that this is like, I'm in the wrong place. But my dad said, no, that's not how I got to be a successful salesperson. He goes, you can take no for an answer. There's always gonna be so many no's before you hit the yes. Just, it's a quantity game. If somebody says no, are you going to keep calling them back 6 times to hear no, 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 no? No, just call the next and call the next and call the next. And call. Then you get a yes. There you go. So I'm like, okay, that always stuck with me, you know. So if somebody says no, it's okay. Not for them. Then go to the next. Next one might be a yes. There's a story in Vedanta about this elephant, Gajendra. He was like the king of the elephants, a very big, powerful, mighty, strong elephant. He's wading into the river to get, or the lake or something, to get a drink when the biggest crocodile comes over and grabs him by the leg and tries to drag him under. And now we have this fight that's going on. The crocodile pulling the elephant pulling the crocodile, back and forth, back and forth. In Vedanta, in the story, they say this went on for years, years and years. Nobody would give up the fight. Nobody would give up the fight because, you know, you'd die if you gave up the fight. You're just, and it was crazy. And Gajendra started actually getting tired of the fight. And in that moment of being tired, he had this memory of a past life where he was once a king. And he prayed to Vishnu. And he thought of that memory, and he prayed to Vishnu. Vishnu is one of the incarnations of Krishna. And we talk about Krishna, my buddy Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. And Vishnu heard his prayer. And he sent Garuda, who was his eagle, who's this big, mighty eagle. He sent Garuda to take care of it. Garuda came, swooped down, and in a moment, scooped up the crocodile and flung him away. Gajendra was saved. This is the law of least effort in action. He was fighting for year after year after year after year to fight this crocodile. Well, in just a minute, a prayer solved his problem. Do we even think to do that sometimes? I think we forget that we're not in this all by ourselves. We are totally supported by this universal energy, this life that wants us to succeed, that wants us to get what we want. We want the things we want for a reason. And it's part of our purpose here. It leads us to our purpose. We have to look at our desires. Not get attached to our desires, but understand our desires. Why do we want that? Why? But why? But why? What is this going to bring us? What do I want out of this? And usually it comes down to love or peace is what you really want. That's what you really want. That's the thing. So there's a way to achieve this realization of who we are, of what we need, what we want. How do we do this in Vedanta? They said there's two ways. It's a two-step process. And actually, these are both paradoxes. They're both paradoxes. Number one is we have to attain what we already possess. Attain what we already possess. That doesn't seem to make sense, right? How do we attain something we already possess? If we already possess it, we have it, right? The second part is how do we do this? By eliminating what never existed. If it never existed, how do we eliminate it? Okay, we got to think about this. A lot of this is like our wrong thinking. Science of mind is all about thinking rightly, right? How do we attain what we already possess by eliminating what never existed? Here's the example. Picture yourself, you're at home, you're in the kitchen, you're trying to read a recipe, you realize you need your glasses, you look on the counter, they're not there. Where are my glasses? You're looking all over the house. You look in your bedroom, you look in your bathroom, you look in your car, you look in the glove compartment, you're looking all over the house. I can't find my glasses. I need to read this recipe. What is going on? You're getting very frustrated. Where are my glasses? You look in your purse, you take it all out, you look in your old purses. Where did I leave them? You retrace your steps, you call the last store you were in. Did you see my glasses there? Nothing. Can't find your glasses. Finally, you're exhausted, like Gajendra was exhausted finally. You say, you know what? I'm just going to wash my face, go to bed. I'll worry about it in the morning. You go to wash your face. You're standing in the bathroom. You look in the mirror. Your glasses are on top of your head. How many times are we going to do this in life? This is it. We're looking for this treasure in our lives. Where is it? Here. It's right here. It's not on some distant planet. It's not wishing on a star. It's like here. This is how you attain what you already possess, is by knowing that you already have it. Knowing that you have it. You got the glasses back by saying, oh, they're on my head. How did you eliminate what never existed? The lost glasses never existed. They weren't lost. The fact of the glasses being lost never existed. They were never lost. And that's how you eliminate it. You lose that ignorance of, I'm so sure my glasses are lost. You lose that ignorance. You eliminate that ignorance. You attain the wisdom of, my glasses are right here. Got it? Okay, good. Okay. So, you know, sometimes it's we forget, we just don't see it. Sometimes, so we have to remember. And sometimes it's veiled. This ignorance is either, you know, we forgot it, or it's veiled, and we need to lift the veil and see the truth. Those are the two ways that Maya or illusion obscure truth in our lives. Do we forget where it is? Do we whatever? Or is it veiled by something else? Do we think it's something else? And this is what our emotions do to us. They confuse us. We struggle with our emotions. We struggle. We feel, oh, I'm so frustrated, or I'm so angry, or I'm so scared. I'm so, you know, I'm having so much anxiety right now. I'm so anxious. I'm so depressed. I'm so this. I'm so that. What is that? That is all Maya obscuring the truth, because the truth of our true nature is we are whole, complete. We are love. We are joy. And all those other things are temporary that need to be eliminated, which can be eliminated when we wake up to the truth of who we are. So you can observe those emotions. I'm not saying don't have those emotions or tamp them down or discard them. I'm saying address them. Say, yeah, okay, I am feeling anxious. Why is this? What is going on? Is this the truth? Is this the truth? Let's dig deeper. Where can I lift the veil? Where can I see my strength? Where can I see how I've handled this before and gotten through it? Where can I see my true nature and how that is so much stronger than any emotion that I have? Things are not as they appear. The moon, we had this beautiful full moon. Oh my gosh, did you notice? The moon shines. But does the moon shine? The moon doesn't shine. The moon looks so luminous in the sky, and it's like, oh, I want to stand in the moonlight and bathe in the moonlight. The moon doesn't have its own light. The moon gets its light from the sun. It's a reflection of the sun, just as a mirror is a reflection of us in the mirror. And that is not our true self, that person in the mirror. That's not us. This is us. So that's what we need to remember. We shine. We shine because the Atman shines within us. That spirit of God within us shines. And the borrowed light, it is our borrowed light that comes from Brahman or God. And it's here within, just like that big mirror and all the little mirror pieces, just like that. So the biggest paradox that we need, I want you to take with you, is that we think we have nothing, but we have everything. And those can both be true at the same time. We're this human body, we're gonna leave all the stuff behind. Nothing's coming with us. Does any of it matter anyway? Let everybody fight about it in the will, whatever. Who cares, right? It's stuff. But what are we taking with us? This comes with us. This light, we have everything. This is everything. We can't lose.